The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
Well, if one expert is good, two should be better, right?
That's what they say, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Joel. Joel Gratz is here, and also Jamie Gaddis, your, what is he, finance?
He's our finance manager and has been our trusted person for a very long time. And in my business, you know, when accountants think they should do everything themselves, it takes a lot of trust. And Jamie, I truly mean this, that there's a pile of trust we put in Jamie, and he's earned it. And he shows up every day to do it. And he controls our checkbook. He controls our finances with obviously guidance. And I know he gets tired some days of having multiple bosses walking around and telling him what to do, you know, but no, Jamie Gaddis has been our guy for a really long time, and we love and trust him. And yeah, we just were thinking today would be things that Jamie does for us. Really wanted him to kind of say, well, these are things I think every business person should probably think about.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, Jamie. I know you've been here a couple of times at least. Maybe this is your fourth even appearance?
Absolutely. Been here quite a few times. Good morning, Bill. It's great to be here. I love doing these things just to get out there and hone my skills, I guess.
Yeah. And you had a good, hopefully, holiday, Christmas and New Year's?
Absolutely. Uneventful. So I think that was the best way to put it.
Right. That's kind of the way I looked at it, too. Although I tell you, I drove home from the cities on Christmas Day. It wasn't that great a driving. It was raining pretty hard, and traffic was bad. I was quite glad to get off the freeway when I did. It was a big, relief, and I could see where, you know, people are a little more stressed around the holidays and so forth, and even more impatient, it looked to me like, on the freeway at least.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted on your wish list then?
You know, I haven't even opened my last present yet.
You have so many gifts, you had to wait and just spread them out. Good for you, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have it sitting on the piano bench, and I don't really play piano, so I forget about it. And then I looked at it today, I thought, tonight I'm going to open that up when I get
home.
Got
to have something to shoot for when you head home. That's great. Good deal.
So do people kind of do that with their businesses too, Jamie? Sometimes they forget about things until they're, you know, staring them right in the face, so to speak?
That probably happens more than you think. All of a sudden, it's the end of the year, and they go, what didn't I do, or what should I be doing? And I think we're going to talk a little bit about that today, you know, and now that we're in January, what can we do? Mm-hmm. What should we have done, or what can we still do, you know, to close out our books, to make the business right?
When do most businesses, do they go by the calendar year? I mean, there used to be quite a few that wasn't their fiscal year, like, what, June would be the end of it or something, or did it vary from month to month?
It varies. You know, every business has a natural business cycle. Most of our businesses, I would say, are calendar. I would say 90%, wouldn't you say, Jamie?
Yeah, I'd say somewhere around there. It's pretty rare to have an unusual fiscal year end.
Yeah, and the rules are different for pass-throughs like an S-corporation partnership, where you kind of have to go by what your owners are, and most owners as individuals are calendar. So it's, calendar year is our busiest time by far.
Mm-hmm. So really, what's maybe right at the top of the list then that you would advise people to be up to speed on, Jamie?
Well, I have a few things written down here, Bill, just to highlight. You know, getting into January here is closing out your books for 23. If you are a fiscal year end entity, closing it out, making sure that you have your expenses in the proper year. You're starting to have renewals come through. You're starting to have expenses come through for the current year, making sure those expenses get recorded in the proper year. It's not too late to accrue them or enter them into your payables, so it affects your books. Very, very complicated, not a very complicated thing to do, but very important. Also, again, no matter whether you're fiscal year end or not, W-2s and 1099 reporting. I know we talked about this, I think, last Ask the Experts. Very important to have that done. 2024 also brings into mind payroll updates. Mm-hmm. So before you do your next payroll for January 2024, most softwares require an update. So just to be able to go in and do that, or have your payroll professional do that, saves time on the quarterlies to try and get those when you come to March 31st. Also, there's a lot of people who haven't or are working on budgeting. You know, budgeting for 2024 usually is done at the end of 2023. You try and get your ducks in a row and go from there. But sometimes it lingers. Sometimes there's a lot of business changes, a lot of growth, a lot of maybe even downsizing. Mm-hmm. So getting that budget together as soon as you can in 2023 will help your business flow much better in 2024.
Yeah, I would say, if I may jump in, looking at your budgets, I think, is such an important thing. If you don't have at least a goal or an idea what you think it should be based upon your knowns and some of your variables that you're anticipating, I don't know how anybody could track how they're doing. And I mean, without a budget, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I hate to admit this on the radio, but probably 15, 20 years ago as a firm, it was more simple. We didn't have as many people, didn't have as many things to worry about. We never did a budget, which I'm somewhat embarrassed to say, because things kind of ran itself to some degree. And as our business grew, back to what Jamie just said, the growth, we just had to do things to gauge. Like one year, we're like, well, what happened there? You know, why did we do this when we thought we were going to do that? Well, we had nothing documented to really gauge that. So we at our firm spent a lot of time. I know Jamie and Bradley Peterson, partner, is our CFO. They spent a lot of time working through our budget, and we're going through our fiscal 2024 is going to be one of our most unique years in that we're really expanding in certain areas, which means we have to invest in people, our best and greatest asset. And you have to look at, well, how long is it going to be before we generate the revenue? So what we have to cover in the meantime, how does that work with our CapEx and things we want to do? The managing partner, me, has these aspirations of building a new office someday. How do you plan for that? And that's just a rumor right now. So that's just Joel's fantasy. Okay. So let's make sure no one's out there trying to sell anything. But those are the things where I think a budget really comes into play. And I don't think you can manage your business. And the best view sometimes isn't a rearview mirror saying, all right, what did it look like? What was I thinking was going to happen? And you compare your budget to your actual, and you make decisions on that. And you go, oh, okay, now I understand why I was thinking that. But now I know the play, the variable going forward needs to be this way.
Yeah. Are there a lot of, consistencies from year to year in most businesses? Do they kind of have a rough idea what their expenditures are going to be, going into any given year?
Yes, usually. I mean, you have your normal amount of fixed expenses, and that no matter what, it costs this much just to have the doors open in the business. Mm-hmm. You know, in our business, personnel, staffing, your employees, because we're an hourly business. We bill by the hour and away it goes. So having those is probably the hardest to gauge, because as we're growing, we're hiring new people. We don't know how efficient they're going to be, and those kinds of things. We don't know how much revenue they're going to bring in, everything else. So along with budgeting, I wanted to tie in cash flow projections.
Perfect.
We talk a little bit about cash flow projections, and we do at our firm a lot, because we do have some cyclical times of the year where, tax time is go time, right? And get quite a bit of our revenue in during tax time and during renewable identification number season, RIN season, those kinds of things. So being able to project that out by the month, by the quarter, is very helpful for a business for budgeting and just to know where you stand. It gives you an opportunity to talk to your lender, look at your debt management. Because if you put out your cash flow and go, holy buckets, we're going to be short in February. What do we do? Do we have a line of credit? Have we talked to our lender? Have we made arrangements to get through that and build cash or build things at the end of the year?
And with interest rates, speaking of your lines of credit, it's not quite as, a no-brainer to advance on your line of credit. Before it was in the 3-4%. Now, what's our line of credit at? Eight and a half?
Yeah, 8.5, 9.
Wow. I mean, that's very, difference. It feels expensive now. I realize there's a lot of listeners out there who lived in the 80s when that was cheap. So for us in the new world, if you will, the market, we're accustomed to, 3, 4, 5, and an 8 feels like we're going to be financially broke very quick. So you have to be very careful, and Jamie's exactly right. In a cyclical business, especially like we have, you got to plan for the highs and you got to plan for the lows, and you can't overspend during this period because you don't want to have 8.5% lines of credit sitting out there. So that's, I'm so glad you brought that up, Jamie. I think it's so important, the cash flow aspect of it, because you've got principal, you know, on your debt to service. You've got owners to make happy with their distributions and their investment. You've got CapEx we talked about. How do you budget that? Those are the challenges where you know, even just going on, the first step is just getting your income and expenses, like Jamie said. Cash flow is absolutely the next dimension, which I see a lot of my business owners sometimes don't see that link. And I think that's so important to do. It's hard to do, but it's something you have, I think, is critical in a business's success, especially when you have cycles. And most of our business owners have cycles. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty hard to say every month's identical, every month's the same. Doesn't really matter. We're printing cash as we go. You know, it isn't quite that simple.
Right. And that's where I think the budgeting and the cash flow go hand in hand, because you might look back on your budget then in 6-8 months and not realize that you had to use a line of credit and pay $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in interest. And all of a sudden there went your profit. Mm-hmm. It just went gone.
Yeah.
Right. So, and with the high interest rates, if you do have excess cash, we call it treasury management. Can you grab some 6% CDs, you know, to offset that 8% line of credit during the low time? So before, that was also a non-issue. Like, okay, anything I can do on a liquid basis is 0.5%.
Yeah.
Well, now we're talking 4 or 5%. So the world is different when you're looking at your cash for right now. And we're hoping that interest rates have, you know, peaked, and hopefully they're going to come down. I'm not going to make a prediction on the air, but I think it's going to come down. I feel like it has to a little, but it won't be fast. I think it's going to be gradual again. So those are all things that you just don't think about. And we just thought, when you're looking at the top of the mountain in January in 2024, what 24 is going to be, we just think it's an absolute must to look at things like that.
You know, I think the last time you were in, you touched a little bit on this part, and that is some of the compliance changes that are going to be coming in, have already, I guess, technically arrived, haven't they, in January here?
Yep, there's a lot of compliances in there, Jamie, even for our firm, and we had talked a lot about the ESST. I forget what that stands for.
Earned sick and safe time.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. So much compliance, especially in Minnesota. Not that I don't love my home state, but we have a lot of stuff going on there. I know we spent a lot of time on the federal side on that beneficial ownership reporting, that BOI stuff. So that's enormous right now. And our firm still hasn't maybe came to the conclusion of exactly how our role is going to be, mainly because there's such little information. And in our litigious society, and some of the penalties they're talking about, they're so heavy. Everybody's putting their hands up and saying, sorry, business owner, you're on your own, because we're afraid to tackle this. And I'm struggling as a partner in a CPA firm that's always prided themselves on helping and making sure we're always there, when there's such, you know, enormous penalties in my insurance carrier. Back to insurance, you got us, you know, he's our guy on our insurance as well. And he talked to our insurance people and said, okay, how well are we covered on this? And they're like, I can't even tell you that. Our insurance person
said, so new that they couldn't even respond. Couldn't get off the fence, yes or no.
And there is some grace period for some of these LLCs and stuff.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, there's for sure. I mean, you've got all year if you don't have any changes. Mm-hmm. But if you suddenly have an ownership change, what does that mean? In theory, you've got 90 days. The website just got up. The rules are changing every day. So, I mean, it's a scary time. I want to believe there's grace. And anything new, there's usually grace. So I'm hoping the penalties, and they need to be stiff. I understand that, because if they want people to comply, you got to make it real. And it's real. So it's scary times for that stuff. And those are the things you have to keep on your radar and say, I know I got to get this done. I've got all year, but how should I do it? Should I take the risk? Should I talk to Goddess to have him do it? You know, it's things like that that we got to figure out. And I wish I had the answer right now, and I just don't.
Right. There's just so many things coming at us here in January when you say, all right, effective 1/1/24. And I do want to give kudos to our payroll specialists out there. We have a lot of those that work very hard at their job and are very passionate about it. You know, just the 1099 requirements coming up, where you got to file them electronically, and some W-2s are coming that way too. And that's a lot of stuff to cram into January.
Yeah.
So just businesses need to be aware of that there's different regulations for those too.
Yeah, in our office, what we, you know, that payroll processing and 1099 year-end team, are we up to like 10 or 12 people in that division?
There's quite a few of them. I couldn't name them. But,
we weren't planning on just like naming everybody and didn't get permission to name everybody on the radio. But January is probably their busiest, and it's hairy, scary, man, and there's really no extensions. I don't think, well, there isn't an extension on the 131. It's a January 31 deadline, which is for the 1099 filers. And again, that's for anybody who receives over $600 in land rent and custom hire and services like that. So there's a lot of rules that go into that, as well as the W-2s for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know, you know, like I say, every year is different, but, you know, this is a whole new layer, you know, put on, because there really haven't been many of these drastic additions recently, have there? I mean,
during COVID, we had a lot of rules, a lot of compliance, a lot of things, and now we're hearing and seeing a lot of abuse, you know, in that. And I think the government's learning that if you make it too wide open, everybody's going to take advantage of you. So, I mean, from a state level, for sure, we haven't seen this kind of push down compliance requirements in a long time that I can recall from a state perspective, for sure. So that is the layer that I think is adding more pressure and making it harder to be a business owner in Minnesota. And again, I love my state, but in our practice, we've had a lot of businesses leave. I hate to say it. And this isn't making it more attractive. I hate to say that to be a business owner in Minnesota. So yeah, it's challenging times for sure.
And there seems to be, I don't know, it's in all industries too. There's kind of this getting a lot more mergers and people either getting out or getting bigger, it seems like. That trend, I haven't seen a real reversal in that. I mean, maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but.
No, there's a lot of that. And I think it's a lot of, you know, retirements from the, if we were to call it the boomers, right. Which I know can be a derogatory term, it's not meant to be, who are retiring. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a lot of folks who want to take on that risk.
Right.
You know? So you have to go to find another business who was already doing it, either mastered it. So yeah, businesses are getting bigger. And we're all having to collectively use our resources, almost like a cooperative. Just visited with another local CPA partner just yesterday. And if we all could get along, every CPA firm should probably merge in Wilmer, because we're fighting over the same resources. And again, my good friend Rick Conway talked about this 25 years ago, probably 30 years ago, and said that is what's going to happen. But of course, that's easier said than done. A lot of personalities, and we all love each other here, but we all compete. And everybody that comes to town that maybe lived in Wilmer and now is moving back, we scratch and claw and beat each other up to get these people to work for us. Mm-hmm. And when there's limited resources, you have to work collectively to do that. So I'm not trying to predict the future, and I'm not trying to suggest there's a merger in the works by any means. But I tell you, tongue in cheek, that would be something that only CPA firms but other businesses, we're going to have to do our collective bargaining, our collective, utilization of resources. Just like in the old days when the old cooperatives came to town, mm-hmm. That's how the farmers had to do it. They couldn't do it by themselves, and they had to work together. And I think out in rural Minnesota, that's going to have to happen at some point.
I agree with you, and I think we've seen it like in healthcare is one pretty good example of how that's
coming
into being.
There's goods and bads to that too, right, in our healthcare. But you're right, they were forced to do the same thing.
Yeah. And yet there's a lot of new, entrepreneurs out there that are willing to take that leap. Maybe they're going to just have a really small business. It's going to be a niche business or whatever, but I mean, do they need all these resources that maybe Christensen and Associates can provide? Or they have to be cautious too, because I'm sure still a fair high percentage don't make it beyond 1 year or new business.
Yeah, no, we actually had the KCEO students in this morning at our office, and that's that entrepreneurial group that's getting local schools, ACGC, Wilmer, NLS. In not only the classroom, but visiting businesses. And Jamie got to listen to all of it this morning, and they talked about that. And I forget the slide that we had, the startup success, was it like 85% or something fail startups?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was a lot the first year that would fail.
Yeah.
You're right. And the biggest reason is you run out of money. Yeah. That was a big first reason, and the second was your idea sucked. So I mean, that's to be blunt, that's basically what it said. So you really need to utilize all your resources to do that right, and you got to have the passion for it and all those things. But you're right. I mean, there still are entrepreneurs. Don't get me wrong. And I think a lot of the newer, younger kids, if you want to call them kids, or the guys, gals coming out of college, they see more value in that because they can create their own schedule. They don't want to live in a box that maybe Jamie and I and you, Bill, where we punch our clocks and everything was hour-driven, and now it's just not like that. So that's another challenge that we're all trying to, us old guys, us dusty guys, not Jamie, me, are trying to figure this out, you know, with the people coming in and trying to balance that with everybody's needs and make everybody happy while serving the client. When they have more needs and we have less resources.
Yeah.
I mean, which what? Drives up price.
Yep.
I hate to say it too. So we're seeing a price surge in our office
as well.
And
that's where you get your inflation, you know.
No, and that's what happens.
Everywhere
right?
you turn around.
It turns.
Just,
yeah, no, yeah. I know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we didn't maybe talk about some strategic items that we should be watching for, Jamie, in closing here in the last couple of minutes. What did you have one or two of those kind of outlined there? Or have you covered it?
Yeah, I guess there's a few things that we've already talked about. Most of them are, again, even now looking at into 2024, looking at personnel needs. We're having to look out much farther to gain resources. If we think we're going to be short on resources in June, we're already behind the gun if we're looking for somebody now. So we're really starting to get into the colleges, get into even the high schools, the people that are interested in that. So looking at your process improvements for 2024, I mean, just to look at that to say, okay, can we take the people we have, improve our process, and get more work done with the people we have? Just improving the process, some of that helps.
I think that's huge. I actually think that's the things you got to think about, that the way you've always done it may not be the best way anymore. And that's hard. Even, like I said, for me too, I have a path I take and I do what I do and I just keep working harder, which maybe I have to start working smarter, you know? So, I mean, that's the stuff we have to do. And you talk about where we're going for resources. For the first time in our firm's history, last year we had two high school people as interns.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never guessed it my entire life that no offense to high schoolers, they had graduated, they were seniors, but had just graduated going off to college. And you know what? They were two awesome young ladies. They were from the BBE school district. I got to give mad credit to those gals. And I think one of them is actually coming back for us this summer.
They thought it was a very good experience. They went off to, you know, enjoy their year. And, yeah, I think one's coming back for another internship in between college.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're getting younger all the time. So pretty soon we're going to have junior hires in there doing work. No, I'm joking. That's
with the computer software, they probably could do it.
Well, yeah.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe not. But, yeah, we joke and jest here. But, I agree. Personnel management's huge, and the process improvement's huge. And, yeah, there's just so many things. AI's out there.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, what does that mean for us, for the business, for your customer? Yeah, it's getting way out of my probably reach a little bit. I just don't know enough about it, and we're trying to figure out more about it.
But. Right. We know it's out there. We know it's coming. We're trying to keep up with it or get ahead of it, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
Well, guys, thanks so much for kicking off our new year. It's been a lot of fun. It's always great to have these discussions. So.
It is. Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
And how do people reach the firm?
Anywhere they want, I suppose, but telephone 235-5937, but our website's pretty darn good, christiansencpa.com. Look there, give us a shout, reach out, and we'll do our best to get back to you as soon as we can.
All right, Joel and Jamie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill.
God bless.